A key question for the board was whether kids who are caught the first time should be suspended from activities for a number of calendar days, as they are now, or for a number of competitive events. That was one of several options developed by Activities Director Jamie Cabral. Cabral said competition is what some students value the most.
And so that's why this policy, option number one, is on here. That's the thing that the students look forward to the most. And a lot of times, if a policy has it where you miss certain amount of calendar days, they're smart enough to figure out what days they can get away with and be suspended on those calendar days of bye weeks or weeks that they don't have any type of competition.
So, for instance, instead of being suspended from all participation in their activity for 44 days as it stands now, a student caught using alcohol for the first time would not be allowed to take part in the next 3 days of competition. Most events last 2 days and are typically separated by a week, so according to Cabral, this option would still meet the minimum suspension requirements in Alaska School Activities Association rules. OSAW prohibits students caught in a first offense from participating in OSAW-sponsored events for at least 10 calendar days. Those students have the opportunity to reduce their penalty through community service and counseling, and they would still have that chance under the options that the board is considering. As Cabral and board member Sarah Holmgren noted, students who are suspended from competition would still go to practice.
The thinking that we're going through, and I think as an administration that we talked about, is not the idea to thump them and dump them and not have anything to do with the students, stay involved with them and try to get them back into interscholastic activities and have them value that interscholastic activities is a privilege and not a given.
And during their suspension time, they're mm-hmm. still, if they want to be eligible to do that next, when they do become eligible for an activity, they'd have to still be practicing. So they'd still be going
Correct.
To practice every day to
Correct.
Still keep them involved in the activity even if they can't play
Correct.
Or perform or compete.
Yes.
Okay.
Second and third offenses would still be met with various levels of calendar day suspensions from 30 days to a year, and a fourth offense would still mean a permanent suspension from the activity. High school principal Rick Dormer said the option of suspending first offenders from competition instead of calendar days had pluses and minuses.
I think one of the strengths of this is that it, compared to the current policy of the days, is that it levels the field. It isn't time dependent really on when the infraction occurred, whether it's in the summer. Because with the days now, a student that, you know, violates the middle of the season is hit quite a bit harder than someone over the summer or the end of the season. But I would say a negative here would be some sports that don't have a lot of events, or maybe even like a band or a drama, there could be a long waiting period before something happens. And that's something to discuss. Or find another way to solve that for some of those sports, or even like track that only has a couple events, so that is a drawback. And again, there's a lot of good things about this option.
Another option would suspend a first offender for a percentage of their competitive events rather than a hard number. Yet another option would stick to calendar days but reduce a first-time penalty to 20 days instead of the current 44. One problem that's come up in the past but was not addressed in any of the options is how to deal with a situation where a student gets charged with minor in possession of alcohol in court but pleads not guilty. Are they still punished under school and OSA rules until they go to trial? Board member Randy Lantine raised that question.
How do we, I mean, they're innocent until proven guilty is what it sounds like. Are we experienced last year where, you know, someone pled not guilty and there was some good, you know, how do we balance that? I know we've talked a little about it.
Administrators have been discussing that issue. Here's Principal Dormer, followed by Superintendent Rob Thomason.
All of us, the superintendent, have talked, and our next plan is really to call the attorney and say, what's legal? Because we certainly don't want to suspend a kid and come back later to find out Judge cleared them, they were innocent, but at the same time, we've had some issues where it's probably not fair the way it's worked out, I think, for everybody involved.
Yeah, that said, the burden of proof for a school district is lower than the burden of proof for the legal system. And I think what I hope we hear is that getting the citation is enough for us. At the time it happened, we were caught sort of off guard, and we just didn't want to end up going the other direction. So we are seeking legal counsel, using that as a case study to say, what are the limitations here?
As to the question of the type of penalty a student should face, boys basketball coach Rick Brock said he liked the idea of suspension from a number of competitions instead of a number of days, but he acknowledged it also had drawbacks. Whatever the option for penalties, he emphasized the importance for student commitment to abide by the prohibition on drug or alcohol use.
It's really hard to come up with the perfect situation, perfect solution for it. I think Gene spoke to that too. You have to have a buy-in from the kids that are involved that it's important enough for everybody
to change their behaviors to adhere to what we're asking them to do.
The board also discussed separating and reducing the penalty for tobacco use because some students may be addicted, but the district can only go so far in the changes it makes to the rules on drug, alcohol, and tobacco use by students and activities. As Board President Gene Ellis pointed out, the district still has to abide by the minimum penalties OSAW requires of schools statewide.
And some of the things that we have heard from the public that they're not necessarily happy with, like them having, if they get in trouble outside of the school or if they get in trouble during the summer, that these consequences still happen. And that's an ASAA policy. It's actually, you know, something that we are required to go by. And what happens is once they sign their first contract as a freshman, then they're under this for their entire 4 years. And so I think, you know, for people to know that part of this policy, we really have no option to change.
Whatever the offense, teacher Ginger Evans stressed the importance of counseling.
Sometimes, even though we would hope that the athletes would go and talk to their coach, talk to a teacher that they trust, or talk to the, you know, administrator, I think sometimes having somebody who's outside of the situation removed completely can shed a different light and maybe can provide another positive role model for our kids.
The board members discussed the variety of options in detail, but did not take any action on the matter Tuesday. They plan to have a special meeting by the end of the month to give administrators some direction. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.